How do we get better at relationships? How do we not suck at love? That's really kind of the key question. Well, the good news is the same as the bad news. We're in this together. We got a full docket today. We're going to be talking about soft white underbelly. We're going to be talking about love, how to be better at it, how to communicate better with someone that you love, whether it's a family member, a friend, your romantic partner, whatever it might be. And by the way, when I say you suck at love, I mean you, I mean me, I mean your parents, I mean your kids someday, I mean every single person you know. This is something we all need to work on, but I think love is a teachable skill. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about it, just like I did recently on soft white underbelly. So let's get after it.
Another Jim Sexton soft white underbelly is out. It's like Christmas morning if you are a fan of James Sexton.
I was on one that day. It was a good one.
That was a good one. I think that your initial black and white soft white underbelly interview is what really launched your media career. Agree or disagree?
Yo, 100%. Yeah. Oh my God. Rational person could dispute that. I mean, I had done 13 episodes of Steve Harvey. I had done my book. I'd done a bunch of other things, but that was the thing that launched it into the stratosphere. And I say that to Mark all the time. Mark and I have become friends since my first appearance. This is actually my sixth appearance on Soft White Underbelly.
Oh, wow.
You know, I've done a couple of collaboration ones. Ashley Hamilton and I did one. Orion Tarabin and I did one. I love working with Mark. I love the format. I was a huge fan of Soft White Underbelly before I was ever on it. Mm. And of course, you know, when he first approached me, I just remember laughing because my secretary came in and was like, yeah, there's somebody on from Soft White Belly or something. And I was like, cause I pay for the subscription version. So you can see like the uncensored stuff they won't show. And I always had. And I remember being like, wow, did my credit card get declined? Like, that's weird that they're calling people personally. And I picked up and I recognized Mark's voice. And he was like, yeah, I really want to have you on. I'm coming to New York. And I was like, you know, I'm not a fentanyl addicted prostitute, right? Like, I don't know what people have been telling you. But he was very interested in my work. And yeah, it was a blast. I mean, that launched it into the stratosphere. There's still a lot of people that's where they know me from. Yep. This was a great episode. I very rarely watch the things I've done. Mm-hmm. But I always watch the Soft White Underbelly when it comes out. And this came out, and at 4 a.m. when I woke up, I watched it. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is really
good. Yeah, first thing Saturday morning, I was ripping another Sexton Soft White Underbelly.
And, yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot to take apart there. But I thought there was kind of three main points that I wanted to get into. And the first one being just the notion of communication. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff you talked about there, particularly with prenups and mm-hmm. whatnot. But also communicating with yourself and others. Mm. And so let's play a couple clips here. This first one where early on you were talking about meditation, that really struck me.
The CEO said, you know, I really want more inner peace. And he said, well, you should meditate for 15 minutes a day. And he said, well, I don't have 15 minutes a day to meditate. And he said, oh, then you should definitely meditate for an hour. You know, and I think it's the same thing. If you don't have 10 minutes a week to just like say to your spouse or your romantic partner, hey, what did I, like, tell me three things I did right this week. Tell me three times I made you feel loved this week. Tell me three times this week that you wanted to fuck me.
I think that idea of, like, if you don't have time for it, then you need to, like, reorganize almost everything in a way, you know?
Yeah.
It's an easy cop-out for people, but I don't think, they really get to
it. We just have all of these, like, gadgets, most of us. Like, I don't have any of those wearables. I don't wear, like, a Whoop or a Fitbit or a Apple Watch or any of those things. But, like, most people have those things. You know, I have a phone, and my phone is constantly, I'm getting texts, I'm getting WhatsApp messages, I'm getting emails. We have all these devices, and we set all these reminders, and we have all these calendars. Like, I just don't think it's much of an ask to say, like, hey, why don't you spend like a dedicated 10 minutes a week, like in your relationship, like checking in with it, you know, communicating with your partner, like, hey, what am I doing right? What could I be doing better? How can I be of service to you? Like, what would be wrong with just saying to your partner in the morning, like, hey, what can I do today? Like, what can I do to help today? What can I do to make your day a little better today? Like, what can I, you know, what's going on? Like, what's that? Like, I try to do that in all my important relationships. Like, I really try to, like, say to a person, like, hey, what can I, you know, what can I do to be of support to you right now? You know, like if you're having a hard time, like anytime I hear that one of my colleagues, you know, I've reached the age and the stage where a lot of my colleagues are in their 60s and 70s and parents are dying or they have like, you know, things happen, they lose people in their life. And, you know, the Bar Association is very good about like sending out an email saying, oh, Bob Smith's brother passed away and services are being held. And I always reach out to the person, even if I just vaguely know them from the courthouse. And I'll just say, you know, hey, if there's anything I can do to be of service to you, it would really make me feel better. Like if you need something covered, if you want me to jump in on anything, I know how unforgiving clients can be. And so if you just like need some support, me and Colin, my partner, like we're here for you. And if there's anything we can do to help, like it would really make me feel better to be able to be of service to you when you're navigating this. People are so touched by that. Like people are just so and think about the times where people have shown up for you, like how much you just remember that, you know, and it really is such a great opportunity. So I just think if you would do that for people in your general orbit, like why wouldn't you make a conscious practice of this person? Like this is your person. Like this is your number one person. Like it's so, I'm finishing my next book right now, writing my next book. And I'm laughing because, you know, my first book was about like, all right, here's the problem. And this one is like, okay, here's some solutions. Mm-hmm. Like it's very much like the prescription now. And that's what the book's about. And it's about very practical. It has a lot of exercises you can do alone and with your partner. Like it's very like, okay, it's practical. It's pragmatic. It's very specific. And I just think it's so funny, man. Like they took so much time to teach me the quadratic formula. And I can tell you as an adult, 53, I have never needed to know what number would be X when the other number is zero. Like I've never needed to know that. Like I know that sodium and chloride mix together to make table salt. No use whatsoever. Like, but they spend a lot of time. Like this is something, how to stay connected to your romantic partner is so important of a thing. How is this not taught? How is this not manualed to us? Like, how do we not get an owner's manual on this? Like, how does someone not sit down and say to us the very simple wisdom of, hey, check in. Like, because otherwise it's by default. Because you know how we learn stuff? Like how to have a relationship? We watch our parents. You know how they learned? By watching their parents. You know, and they learned by watching their parents. And by the way, they navigated a completely different world than the one we're currently navigating. Like it's the same biology, but in a totally different environment. And now we're watching couples on Instagram, which is the absolute worst place you could possibly look, you know, to find role models of how your relationship should be. So I just think that, yeah, like a conscious practice of checking in. And if you say, I don't have 10 minutes a day, I don't have 10 minutes a week to devote to my spouse, then you're going to need way more time than that. You're going to need hours then per week because you're that far ashore. You're that far from each other.
And then you followed up with such a simple statement, but one that I thought was so profound.
Gosh, thanks.
Wouldn't it just be nice to know? And it's so simple, but like,
yeah,
play it.
You know, when do you feel loved? Like I said earlier, like how hard is it to say to your partner, hey, what are three things I did this week that made you feel loved? And hear what it is. And it may be something silly. Oh, you took out the garbage and I didn't ask you. And it may be like something dirty, like, oh, you gave me that amazing blowjob. Like, I don't know what it is, but wouldn't you want to know? Like, wouldn't it be okay to just know and just say it? I think it'd be great.
Dude, that to me is like the key to life. But yeah. Like, it could be relationship, it could be work, friendship. Yeah. Like, we are well, often I love on eggshells. And it's like, if we just knew more about each other.
Right. Like, and what's, by the way, what is more fun than that conversation?
Right.
Like then saying to someone in your life, your kid, your parent, your friend, your coworker, hey, do you want to know three things I really like about you? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I do actually. Fucking do. Man, like I can't think of a day I wouldn't want to know, you know? And do you want me to tell you three things I like about you? You know, because half the time when somebody says, how was your weekend? They want to tell you what they did this weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've jokingly said, like, whenever somebody's like, oh, what'd you do this weekend? I'm like, why don't you just skip to the part where you tell me what you did this weekend? Because that's why you're asking. Like, so, but I try not to do that because I'm already an asshole. But I really think, like, that is a lovely conversation to have, especially if you love someone, especially if you love them, a friend, a family member, whatever, a kid. Like, why wouldn't you say, like, hey, you want to know three things I really like about you? You know what? I know three things about you I wish I could develop in myself. You know, three things I admire about you. You know, like, and then by the way, go deeper. Like, because if you get used to having conversations about the relationship and about the person, you can start going deeper. Like, go into things like, hey, what are some things you think I need to work on? What do you think are my blind spots? What do you think is something I need to change that I don't see I need to change? Like, how brave are you? Like, how brave are you? Like we joke all the time about, like, men wanting to be brave and wanting to, okay, cool, be fucking brave. Like, be brave. Are you brave enough to ask of someone who knows you and cares about you, what are my blind spots? What could I do better? What's something I don't seem to know that you think I need to know? And then have the courage to absorb it. Because I'm more interested, can you take a fucking punch than can you throw a punch? Like, because if you got a gun, it doesn't matter how good of a punch somebody throws. Like, yeah, who cares? Like, it's great. Like, I do a lot of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Trust me, somebody's got a gun, they're going to win. So it's really more, how much punishment can you absorb emotionally, right? How much, I'm always more interested in the question of how much are you willing to suffer for something? Like, you know, I enjoy this relationship. Who doesn't enjoy a relationship? It's like, oh, I like this ice cream. Of course you do. It's fucking ice cream. What's not to like about it? But like, do you have, like, will you ask hard questions, you know, about yourself? Like, are you brave enough to hear someone say to you, this is the stuff you need to work on. I love you, but this is the stuff you need to work on. Again, maybe not for me, for yourself, for yourself. Like, I think you're, like, I look at my sons who I love so much. Most of the time when I've been upset at them, it's because they're doing something that I go, your life would be better if you didn't do this thing. Like, I don't want to know why you're doing this. You're better than that. You know, I had this conversation with a client the other day because they were like, oh, my co-parent, you know, called our son stupid. And I was like, really? Like, he said, you're stupid? She said, no. He was like, why, you know, don't be so stupid. Why are you acting so stupid? I was like, well, hey, that's a totally different statement. Like, you're stupid is an insult. Saying, why are you acting stupid, actually presupposes that you're not stupid. You're actually calling the person not stupid. You're saying, why are you acting stupid? I know you're not stupid. So why are you behaving like a person who's stupid? So it's the same thing with this. Like, have the bravery to ask those kinds of hard questions. But again, don't start there. Like, don't start there. Start with, you want to know three things I like about you. You want to know two of my favorite things about you. You know, what are three of your favorite memories of us? Like, don't, again, take it out of a romantic relationship. Your buddy from college, your buddy from high school, call him up and be like, dude, what are your three favorite memories of you and I? I'll go first, you know, and just tell the story. Remember that time we drove around that shitty car you had and we were broke, but we went to the thing and we hung out. And we were trying to meet those girls. Like, dude, that. Like, who doesn't want to go back there in their brain sometimes and share with this person the bond and how far we've come or how far we've fallen or whatever it might be? Like, that is free. Here's the reason you don't ever hear about this, guys. It's easy. You don't need to read a whole book. That's it. It's a whole secret. That's the whole secret. It was a 20-second clip. That's it. It's all you needed. And guess what else you don't? You don't need to buy anything.
Well, they need to buy your book.
I mean, it'd be nice if you bought my book, but you know. But like, the truth is, you don't need to buy a damn thing. You don't need to buy a damn thing. You can literally just go. And here's the problem. And I just finished writing a chapter about this for the next book. So I'm spoiling it a little bit. But I've been thinking about it. It's always after something awful happens that we start to reevaluate our relationships. Like, we start to realize, like, it's just like after we get sick, we realize how lucky we are to be well. But you don't need to wait. Like, let this be the thing. The moment. Like, let this be the moment. Let right now be the moment that you look at the person next to you or the person who's in the other room or the person who's upstairs, wherever the fuck you are when you're watching this. Like, let this be the moment where you go, right now. I'm not going to wait until there's a problem between us. I'm not going to wait until they get sick. I'm not going to wait until I get sick. I'm not going to wait until something goes horribly wrong. Right now, I'm going to tell that person something about them that I love. I'm going to share with them my favorite memory of them. I'm going to say to them, can you share with me something you remember about me that you like? Or what's something I'm doing right? Or like, I'm telling you, there is value in that interaction. And if you say to me, as many people do, whenever I say these things, people always put in the comments or people say like, well, that'll never happen with the person I'm with. Okay, then you're not with the right person. Like, what are you doing? Then there are 8 billion people in the world and you're saying you're with a person that you can't have a conversation with them about what you like about them and what they like about you. Is the bar that low, ladies and gentlemen, that you can't have that conversation? Why? What's the impediment to it? Then have a conversation about why I can't have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Why not say, you know, I was watching this thing and I was thinking about talking about the three things we like most about each other. And I was really terrified that you wouldn't even want to have that conversation with me. Like, and if the answer is that they go, yeah, I don't want to, what are you doing? What are you doing? Life is too short. Life is too short. Like, I'm a believer that sometimes my profession, we are helping the world. Because we're helping you get out of relationships that you have no business being in anymore. You have just evolved out of them at that point. Summer is almost upon us, gang, and now is the time to get dialed in on your health. Look, I've always said it, you gotta stay top-notch healthy and measure what matters, and that's where Marek Health comes in. Marek Health offers you the four-pillar plan, one-on-one health coaching, individualized approaches to everything, lab work and blood panels. They're using real data and paying attention. This is not just blind, flying blind stuff. This is real deal numbers and tracking your metrics. Direct medical provider access, no more waiting around in waiting rooms. This is a simple process of working with a physician who's really going to pay attention to what it is that you need individually based on your blood panels and your goals. And one-stop shopping convenience, Marek can help get you dialed in with the peptides, TRT. Sign up today, MarekHealth.com/Sexton. Offer code Sexton for 10% off. We are very excited to be part of the Marek Health team.
For a literal piece of advice for the audience, because I take what you say and put it into practice.
Good.
Like, it's easy to just watch and say, that's a good idea.
Good.
But literally, I will be on my computer while you're talking, and I will text somebody, a family member, a romantic partner, and I will say, Jim just said blah, 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 and I think blah, blah, blah. And if you have a hard time bringing it up, you can say, you know, this show I watched with this guy, or James Sexton said
it. Send him the clip.
Right. Use it as a way to actually start the conversation.
Send him the clip and just say, why don't we do this more often? Mm-hmm. And by the way, the problem with saying, why don't we do this more often, is it's almost accusatory and it brings up something defensive. Just saying, I want to do this with you. I'm making my list right now.
Yeah.
By the way, ladies, if you're in a relationship with a man, start with the, you want to know three things you did last week that made me want to have sex with you. I guarantee he wants to know. I guarantee he wants to know.
Yep.
You know?
And he'll do more of those things.
He'll do more of those things. Oh, I have to tell you, he'll do more of those things. That's why I use the example of like, oh, you know, I felt really loved when you took the trash out. Really? Shit, I'll take the trash out way more often then. Like, I didn't know it made you feel loved. I didn't know it made you feel any way at all. You know? And again, you might start to realize, I haven't been letting this person know. Like, I've just gotten used to it. Whoever discovered water wasn't a fish. Like, I'm just in this relationship now and I've taken for granted the things this person does. But when you think about it, when you stop for a minute and think about it, you realize, oh, there are these little things this person does or used to do that made me feel loved and seen and connected to them. And that's the stuff. Again, it's not complicated. You don't have to buy anything. It's an easy, easy thing to do. And again, I think it's worth doing 100%.
But the other side of the coin is that's the fun part. It's the, tell me the three things I need to work on.
Right.
That's a little harder, right?
It's harder. It requires more bravery.
And I thought what was interesting to bring it back to the soft white underbelly conversation is when you were talking about prenups and you were saying, I'm not going to have one side of this conversation.
Yeah.
So let's play that clip because I think it kind of applies. If this is about prenups, but it also applies to you know, more things.
Any challenging conversation. You're giving some things up to be with me. You need some security. If God forbid we ever split up and I'm the one who's been the breadwinner for the last 5 years or even year or 3 years, this is not though like, hey, what's my employment contract? You know, like how much is a blowjob worth? Like, because by the way, I'll have that conversation.
There's an art in not having these conversations.
Of course, of course. And you shouldn't have to have this conversation. But here's what you shouldn't have, Mark. Fine, we shouldn't. I agree. We shouldn't have that conversation. It's kind of gross and there's no need for it.
It's
okay.
Ugly. Yeah, it's ugly.
We're not going to have one side of it, though.
So, yeah, you know, you don't want to quantify how many blowjobs you're going to give me, but people are willing to qualify. Here's exactly how many dollars you have to give me if we break up. So why are certain things taboo and certain things accepted?
Right.
And then how do you broach all these topics?
Right. And again, the way you broach it, I think, is by using broader language. So, you know, there's something crass about saying, well, how much is a blowjob worth in this relationship, right? How many blowjobs equals me paying the mortgage this month? Like, but if I'm the one who's paying the mortgage and you're you're the one who's giving the blowjobs. I actually don't think it's an unfair economy for us to be talking about. Because by the way, that might be an economy we're both perfectly okay with. Like, I'm perfectly happy to pay the mortgage and you're perfectly happy instead of having to you know, have outside the home employment, give me a blowjob once in a while so that I feel wonderful about you and I feel loved and valued and cherished by you. I'm just using that as an example. It's not the singular point of focus, although it's a pretty good one. I mean, the truth is, like, people in relationships have all kinds of economies where both people work. Like, I don't believe that we should be counting every single thing we're doing for each other and then quantifying which one is worth how much. I think when people, if neither person feels they're being taken advantage of for an extended period of time, I think there are going to be times in relationship where you're giving more than you're getting. There's going to be times where you're getting more than you're giving. That's the nature and the ebb and flow of relationships. But if for too long you feel like you're giving way more than you're getting, that's not something you want to just leave as is. Like, there's going to be resentment that's going to start to build up. There's going to be issues. So how do we have the conversation? Maybe we use a broader definition and we say, you know, the warmth of you and the softness that you give to me, even though it doesn't take as many hours in the day as me being at work for 12 hours, it still has the same value to me as the work that I do. But I feel lately like we're not as connected. And when I get home, there isn't that warmth. And I feel the absence of that warmth. And I'd really like to figure out if there's something I can do to help facilitate that. I think that's a good and an important conversation to have. But I don't think it's fair to say, because look, the law quantifies certain things. The law says you have an economic obligation to continue to support a person if you've been supporting them for an extended period of time and there's a disparity in your respective incomes. Okay, I am willing to have that conversation with someone, but I am also going to have a conversation about, that is a conversation about what value I bring to the relationship and what I owe you. Because right now, I owe you nothing. If we're not married, I legally owe you nothing. So you would now like to codify in law my obligations to you. I'm good with that. I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of commitment. Let's do this. But we are not going to have a one-sided contract where my end of the deal, I have to continue even if we break up, even if, by the way, because we're a no-fault state, even if we break up because you're sleeping with the tennis instructor. Like, if that happens, I still have the same obligation to you. So we are going to have a conversation. If I am going to owe you, what do you owe me? Like, because we owe each other. And again, if you want to have a one-sided contract, you're allowed to. If you're dumb enough to go, yeah, I will owe you A, B, and C, and you owe me nothing. Okay, that's a hell of a bet. Knock yourself out. Like, if that's something you want to do, if you're that person, that's your economy, knock yourself out. I personally would never sign up for that contract. I want value given, value received. Do I want the same value? Absolutely not. It does not need to be. I will go out and slay dragons all day long because I love it. You know, and what do I expect back? I give more than I'll ever ask for in every relationship I have, period. End of story. I give more than I ask for. But you better show up with the shit that I asked for. That's the contract. It's what I've said about my employees that I got pilloried for. Like, the truth is, like, yeah, I'm going to pay you incredibly well. I'm going to give you it. But man, I expect you to do your job. And if you don't do your job, get the fuck out of this office, period. That's it. That's how this works. And the same goes for this kitchen or living room. Like, we've got there and nothing in here that's not going to do its job. Like, and let's figure out what that's, because I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up and do my end of this deal. So if I'm going to owe, then I'm going to expect you to show up as well for your piece. And again, I will give more than I ask for. I think it is okay to have that conversation. I think it's okay and fair to have that conversation. In fact, I think there's something really kind about it. I think people like to know what's expected of them. I think people, it's one of the reasons why I think like BDSM stuff works for a lot of people. Because their attitude is like, tell me what you expect of me. Give me rules. Tell me what the rules are. Here's what I expect of you, and here's what I will give to you in exchange for it. Like, this is a fair thing to do to someone. I like relationships of any kind where I know what's expected of me, and you don't move the goalposts around constantly. Like, no, I want you to show up. I want you to. That's why I always said I was a great ex-husband, because an ex-husband has a very different list of things that's expected of them than a husband. An ex-husband, pay the child support on time, pay the alimony on time, pick the kids up when you're supposed to, be flexible when I need you to, be supportive of me. Piece of cake. I can do that all day long without fail, you know? But in a relationship where you're constantly moving the goalposts and, well, I want this, well, less of this or more of this. Okay, guess what? Like, no, we're not doing that. Because I'm not going to each month say to you, like, okay, well, I want to redo what it is that I've... No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Like, if we both want to renegotiate some aspect of things, knock yourself out. But we're not going to unilaterally decide, oh, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. That's not how it works. That's not how a contract works.
How did things get so lopsided, though, in the sense of when you talk about... in your prenup, the alimony or support or the money, that gets framed as like, well, this is what I need for safety and protection. And but if you talk about sex, it's gross and crass. And it's like, and it's not just sex.
We have a weird attitude towards like sex and love and nurturing and support, like because we're just not allowed to talk about the fact that there are plenty of relationships where like there's no such thing as free sex. Like it just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Like there's, you're paying one way or another. You're either paying with attention, affection, you know, economics, like you're paying somehow. Like this is an economy. There's an exchange of power. It's an exchange of value. I would say value even more than power. So why do some topics become taboo? Mm-hmm. I think the easier question to answer is why do some topics get codified in the law? And it's because they're quantifiable. Like, I think they're, by the way, I don't disagree with the concept of alimony. I don't disagree with, like, if I am the sole economic provider in a relationship, this person is going to lean on me to meet their basic needs, I don't think it's unreasonable to say I can't just decide I'm out. Mm-hmm. Like, that I owe you some runway. You know, that I owe you some, like, especially if you're making sacrifices and making choices in your life, that you'd make different choices. If you, like, you would work on your career instead of, like, laying back and being a little relaxed about it because you know I got this. Like, I think that's very fair. But we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about this is what you expect of me and this is what I expect of you. The danger is that the law cannot force people to be nice to each other, have sex with each other, be warm to each other, or cook for each other. But they can force you to write checks and pay bills, you know, and to pick up the kids and to do certain things. So the reality is we think in generalities, we live in details, and the things that can be quantified in law can be quantified in law. And that's what ends up getting, you know, legislative attention. And that's what ends up being something we can force people to do. But I don't think any of us would want it to be something that's forced. And by the way, I really think what it's more important about the conversation is being honest with yourselves, right? Yourself and each other in the relationship about what is the value you each bring to this relationship. See, one of the phenomenon that I will say I've noticed, and I'll use a less fraught example than romantic relationships. I have in the past had employees who were the kind of employees that needed me to tell them what a great job they're doing in order for them to continue to do a great job. So it wasn't enough that they're being paid very well. It wasn't enough that they have total economic security as a function of working for me, predictability, reliability, we've never missed a payroll. They also need me to go, oh my God, you're so great. Boy, you're so great. You're so good at God. You're so good at this. God, you did such a great job. They need that from me. Okay, cool. If you need that from me, I will give that to you as well. If you're the kind of person, I don't need an attaboy. I don't need people telling me, oh, you're doing so, Jim, you're such a great, I don't need any of that. Like I know who I am. I know what I do. I know what I do well. I know what I do poorly. I don't need you to spend a bunch of time. I'm not comfortable with compliments. I don't need a massive amount of compliments. But some people really need compliments. And I've had people work in my office who really needed me to tell them how great they are. Here's the problem. They start to really believe it to the point where they start to go, well, this office couldn't run without me. Oh, yes, it can. Oh, it guaranteed can. Because I can't tell you how many people in 25 years of running a firm have said out loud, this firm could not run without me, and it has run without you, no problem. Like zero, barely even a distraction. Like your absence was barely even a distraction. There is one person in that office that is irreplaceable. That's me. Everybody else, we could figure it out.
Maybe Teresa.
Do I want Teresa and Colin are both phenomenal. I'm not Teresa, Colin, Cindy. I have great people in my office, but I'm not in any way my current staff. But what I will tell you is they will all tell you the firm existed before them and the firm would exist after them. They all know that. They all know that. Again, do we have to say that every day? No, we don't have to say that every day, but they know it, right? They know it. And they know the value that they bring. And I make a point of telling them that they do a great job. But there's a difference between telling someone when they've knocked it out of the park. Like Colin recently just went on like a run of like trials and a bunch of things. I remember calling him on the weekend. I just went, I don't want to interrupt your time with your family. But Jesus, you're crushing it, dude. You are crushing it. You're a beast this week. And he was like, oh, thanks, man. And he's like, you know, it's been a busy one. You know, he made a Locks reference. He was like, murder the whole month of April just to take May off. Love that. Reservoir
now,
Dogs.
Now I got to call you again to compliment you for that.
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh my God, yeah. I love it. You know, paid in full, son. But yeah, no, it was great. And the truth is it is good to get people out of boys. But if the effect of every day telling someone how great they are, because otherwise they'll stop performing, is that they start to think that they're like more valuable than they are. That's dangerous. That's a dangerous thing. So I think we've just got people really gassed up right now on like how valuable they are. Because there's a lot of content out there pandering. There's a lot of content saying to women, oh my God, you're so great. You're invaluable. You give everything to the relationship and the other side does nothing. And there's a ton of content out there saying to men, look what you do. You build the world. You build this. You're the earner. And women get it all. It's so easy for them. And they live life on easy mode. And it's just that division that the algorithm loves. But the truth is, like, we're all bringing value to these exchanges. We just have to be a little more honest with ourselves and each other about what that is so that we don't lose sight of what made the relationship appealing to begin with and what each of us, listen, I like knowing what's expected of me. I really do. I like knowing what's expected of me because then I know when I'm showing up. And if that changes, you need more from me in some way. You need something different from me. There's room to have that conversation. Whether you're an employee, a friend, a family member, a lover, whatever you are, there's room to say, hey, I need more of this. Or you're doing this thing and it used to work for me, but it doesn't anymore. So we need less of that. Is that okay? The answer is probably going to be yes. Like, it's probably going to be yes. I'm adaptive, you know, I'm okay with that. But we got to have the conversation. Don't be afraid of that conversation.